Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Sunday, January 22nd, marks the 39th anniversary. I hate to use the word anniversary, since anniversary seems to commemorate something that is joyful, but the 39th year that we have had legalized abortion in this country. It's certainly a subject that all of us as Bible-believing Christians should be passionate about. The tragedy of abortion is something that's just so horrible. Today we're going to discuss not only the subject of abortion, but how does the Mormon Church look at this subject? Now, one of the reasons that I have a problem with abortion, and usually when talking with people about this, is rather than to get into the spiritual issue, which I think is important, but for most people, they don't care about that. What I find amazing is how a lot of people, many of them liberal in their political persuasions, tend to think that they're the bastions of liberty on this subject. But yet, what are they actually doing when they allow for a person to take another person's life? According to the Fifth Amendment in the Constitution, it says, "No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself." Now listen to this next part. "Nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." What does it say there? You cannot be deprived of life without due process of law. Yet since 1973, our country has been doing just that to millions of our unborn citizens.
Well, Bill, a lot of people are going to say it's just a massive tissue. It's just it's a parent's choice to be able to do with whatever they want with their own bodies. What's like, the flaw in that
like
argument?
A lot of problems with these type of arguments is they use words that are really irrelevant and misleading. Choice? Choice? Does the person who's being affected the most by this procedure have a choice in the matter? Absolutely not. You know, if we all had a choice whether to be aborted or live, how many do you think are going to choose abortion? Probably none. And yet we are given words like choice? What an insult. I mean, to our intelligence, to think that it should even be brought into the subject. You hear women, for instance, say things like, "Well, it's my body." No, it's not. It's not your body. It's a completely different body. And in many of the cases, or at least half of the cases, it's probably not even the same sex as you are.
Well, yeah.
So that is a horrible argument.
It's not your DNA. It's only 23 chromosomes of the mother and 23 of the father. And yet it's interesting how so often the father gets no say in what happens to a woman who decides she wants to go ahead and have an abortion. It becomes her choice. He has nothing to do with it.
And think about that. You talk about DNA. What kind of DNA is it? It's human DNA. If it's human DNA, doesn't it not deserve, especially in our grand country, human rights?
Before you're going to kill something, Bill, you have to ask that question. What is it? And if it is human DNA, as you're saying, then the Bible says humans are made in the image of God, and life is supposed to be sacred.
Well, the Mormon Church claims to be pro-life. I've heard many Latter-day Saints that they are say that they are. But if you looked at the church handbook, which I happen to have in front of me, I'm looking at the church handbook of instruction on page 163 under church policies, section 17, under the topic of abortion. It says, "The Lord commanded, thou shalt not kill nor do anything like unto it," DNC 59:6. The church opposes elective abortion for personal or social convenience. Members must not submit to, perform, arrange for, pay for, consent to, or encourage an abortion. The only possible exceptions are when, 1, pregnancy resulted from forcible rape or incest. Doesn't sound like something out of the Bible. Now, what do you do with that? Pregnancy resulted from forcible rape or incest. Horrible situations, no doubt. Horrible situations. It's hard to even imagine a woman being put in a situation like that.
But because of somebody else's crime?
Someone else's sin?
Somebody else is supposed to pay for that, the embryonic inside of a woman.
The child had nothing to do with that. The child had absolutely nothing to do with that sin, but yet that child is going to be punished by death without due process because of the sin of another party. Now, think through that argument, folks. That's not a very good argument.
It's like a parent going to be executed because the child went out and murdered somebody. I mean, we don't do that. You pay for your own sins.
Here's another exception, point number 2. A competent physician determines that the life or health of the mother is in serious jeopardy. Again, a very tragic situation that would even come up in a discussion that a doctor would have to have. But I know personally of at least one case where a doctor counseled a woman to have an abortion because there was going to be complications that he said would probably result in her death, and she refused. The baby was born perfectly healthy, and she's fine to this day.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about, but that was my father, actually, Bill. My father in 1930 was, my grandmother was pregnant with him, and the doctor said, you must have an abortion. This is before abortion was legal for elective abortion, but it was okay medically, and my grandmother refused, and my father was born, and here I am today.
And point number 3 says, a competent physician determines that the fetus, I love how they switch the terms all of a sudden. Hey, a fetus is a baby, folks. You know, come on. Nobody ever says, I'm pregnant, I'm having a fetus. And nobody ever says that. A competent physician determines that the fetus has severe defects that will not allow the baby to survive beyond birth. If that's really the case, isn't it more prudent to allow nature to take its course? And if that is actually what's going to happen, then what would be wrong in allowing that to happen naturally? Why put any type of a burden on the mother or the father or the doctor for that matter, which if they have any conscience at all to perform that?
It's going to be painful for the parents regardless of whether you're going to abort it or whether you're going to have it done naturally. But Bill, you had mentioned before the show, I don't know, why do some people do that? Maybe try to avoid the pain. Maybe is it financial because they can't afford the live birth and it's cheaper to do the abortion?
It could be that. It's hard to say in all situations. I know that I have spent many, many hours in front of an abortion clinic. I remember when we lived in San Diego, I was down there almost every weekend trying to talk to the girls not to go in there. And it was interesting to see how the guys would walk very close to their girlfriends as they walked into the clinic. And then several hours later, when they would come out, the boyfriend was usually about 20 paces ahead of the poor girl who was walking very slowly after going through that procedure. It used to just tick me off, and it ticks me off to this day. Here's the problem that I have with Mormonism. You have a mixed message over this subject, and I think we need to get into this, and we need to look at what the Mormon leaders have actually talked about when it comes to this subject. They've been very inconsistent.
This is George Q. Cannon, and he said over 100 years ago, abortion, an unforgivable sin. I say to you, my sisters, you teach your daughters against this accursed practice, or they will go to hell. They will be damned. They will be murderers, and the blood of innocence will be found upon them. A man that would sanction such a thing in his family, or that would live with a woman guilty of such acts, shares in the crime of murder. I would no more perform the ordinance of laying on of hands on a woman who is guilty of that crime, if I knew it, than I would put my hands on the head of a rattlesnake. He says that in Gospel Truth, Volume 2, pages 128 and 129. Wow, what a quote.
I know. First of all, we should clarify, though George Q. Cannon claimed that it was an unforgivable sin, I don't believe that. I believe that it can be forgiven.
Absolutely.
I believe that the grace of God is he's faithful enough to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Even the horrible sin of abortion. And if you have gone through that, you can be forgiven by asking the Lord to do that. Here, though, in Mormonism, they don't look at it as murder. This is what I find to be very odd. According to Mormonism, abortion is not considered to be murder, but yet it's supposed to be a terrible sin. Why is it a sin then? If it's not committing of murder, why is it a sin? What did you just abort? They must be going along with the, well, it can't be human theory. And the church, the Mormon church, has never really had a position on when life begins. According to Rodney Turner in his book, Woman and the Priesthood, that came out in 1973, the same year abortion was legalized, on page 215, he admits, he says, the church has no official doctrine as to when the unborn spirit enters its earthly tabernacle. There is no real position in the Mormon church on when life begins. Good grief, this is the church that's led by a living prophet, and they can't even come up when life begins. Now, not all Mormons are consistent on that. There are some Mormons who do believe that life begins at conception. There are some, however, such as Orrin Hatch, that believes that embryonic stem cell research is okay. So the Mormon church's Mormon membership is divided over that. Well, they're divided because I don't think the Mormon church leadership is giving them any leadership on this. They give them different messages. Some say it's unforgivable. Some say it is. Then you have Gordon Hinckley. He says abortion is an ugly thing, a debasing thing, a thing which inevitably brings remorse and sorrow and regret. While we denounce it, we make allowance in such circumstances as when pregnancy is the result of incest or rape, when the life or health of the mother is judged by competent medical authority to be serious jeopardy, or when the fetus is known by competent medical authority to have serious defects that will not allow the baby to survive birth. Gee, what did he just quote? The Church Handbook of Instruction. Mm-hmm. That's what the leadership in the Mormon church gives. A mixed message. I'm sorry, but abortion is murder. It is the taking of a human life. It's taking it without due process. It violates the Constitution. I hope as Christians that we will stand firm in our cause for life and hopefully try to talk with our Mormon friends about this issue and hoping that maybe they will be a little bit more consistent in their position and hopefully challenge their leadership to take a leadership role.
Be more definitive.
And exactly, be more definitive on this serious sin of abortion.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to this sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.